Welcome to our deep dive, and today get ready because we're diving into the world of saproxylic beetles.
Ooh, those are fascinating.
They are. Yes. Yeah, and they live in Deadwood.
Yeah.
And we're going to be looking at a scientific study that was done in the cork oak woodlands of Italy. So get ready for a journey into a hidden ecosystem that's been shaped by centuries of human activity.
You know, what's really interesting is how these woodlands have been managed for cork extraction.
Yeah.
It's had a direct impact on how many different kinds of these little creatures live there.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And you might be surprised to learn how much variety there is in these beetle communities.
Yeah.
And how sensitive they are to even small changes in their surroundings.
So it's not just about beetles and dead wood. It's about how humans and the forest and this whole ecosystem are all tied together.
It is.
To really see how that works. The study looked at two different cork oak woodlands. Is that
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Oh, so picture one woodland with trees spread out, letting sunlight reach the forest floor. That's our first sight. It's what we call an open woodland, and it's got a history of grazing animals.
Okay, so it's been used by humans for a long time.
Exactly.
Okay.
The second sight is a denser woodland with a mix of different trees.
Mm-hmm.
It shows us what happens when a woodland is left alone to recover.
Okay.
It's a more advanced stage of growth after years of human use.
It sounds like we're about to compare a before and after picture of these woodlands.
That's a great way to put it.
By looking at the beetles in these two different environments, we can really see the impact that humans have, right?
That's the idea.
Okay.
It gives us a unique window to see how human actions ripple through a whole ecosystem.
Wow.
Even down to the tiniest creatures.
I like that.
But before we jump into the findings,
okay,
let's make sure we're all on the same page.
Okay.
When you hear the term saproxylic beetles, what pops into your head?
I've got to be honest. I picture little bugs crawling around on dead logs, but I have a feeling that there's more to it than that.
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
These beetles are much more than just creepy crawlies. They are key players in the forest.
Okay.
Think of them as nature's recyclers. They need dead or decaying wood to survive.
Right.
And by doing that, they play a crucial role in breaking down a material and cycling nutrients.
So they're like the cleanup crew.
Yes.
Breaking down all that woody material and making those nutrients available for other organisms to use.
A perfect analogy.
Okay, good.
They are vital for the health and regeneration of the forest.
So they're important.
They are essential.
Okay.
And this study we're talking about,
yeah,
it focuses on a group of saproxylic beetles that are on the Italian IUCN Red List.
What is that?
That means they're facing some level of threat.
Oh.
So understanding what kind of habitat they need,
yeah,
is even more crucial.
Okay, so we're talking about threatened species.
Yes.
Unique habitats.
Yes.
And the impact of how humans manage things.
Yes.
This is starting to feel pretty important.
It is very important. The researchers use some pretty clever techniques to collect their data.
Okay, like what?
They set up pitfall traps inside tree cavities, like little hidden doorways that lead down to a collection chamber. They also use window traps near the trunks.
Okay.
Taking advantage of the beetle's natural instinct to fly towards the light.
Ah, very smart.
This two-pronged approach allowed them to get a really complete picture of the different beetle communities in each woodland.
So what, did they find anything surprising?
One of the most remarkable findings,
yeah,
was how many threatened beetle species were living in these cork oak woodlands.
Wow.
And get this, they even found a brand new species.
Oh, wow.
Alecula suberina. Found only in these specific locations.
A brand new species.
Yes.
That's incredible.
It is.
This really shows how important it is to protect these unique ecosystems.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Besides Alecula suberina,
yeah,
they also found the endangered Pediophagus quercus.
Okay.
And the critically endangered Elidinopreus armatus.
Wow. Those are...
I know, right?
Long names.
They are.
But they both sound really fascinating.
They're both fascinating species with unique lifestyles and roles to play in this ecosystem.
Let's start with Pediophagus quercus.
Sure.
What makes this beetle so special?
Pediophagus quercus is a sign of old-growth forests.
Okay.
It tells us that these woodlands have been around for a very long time.
Wow.
Providing a stable habitat for these specialized species.
So finding this species in a relatively young woodland like that denser site pulverino,
right,
tells us that it's recovering well and developing the characteristics of a more mature, biodiverse ecosystem.
Exactly.
That's a good sign, right?
It's a very encouraging sign.
Okay.
It suggests that even woodlands that are recovering from human impact,
yeah,
can still support these important species if the conditions are right.
Speaking of fascinating lifestyles, let's move on to Elidinopreus armatus.
Sure.
It sounds like a real survivor, especially since it's critically endangered.
It is.
Yeah.
This beetle has a very particular diet. It relies on specific fungi that grow on old deciduous trees.
Wow. So it needs both the old trees and the fungi.
Yes.
That's pretty specialized.
It is.
So it's very vulnerable if it loses its habitat.
Exactly.
Wow. Talk about a niche lifestyle.
Right.
Its presence in these woodlands shows how interconnected everything is.
Yes.
Each species has its role.
Right.
And if one is lost, it can affect the whole system.
That's exactly right. And that brings us to the heart of the study.
Okay.
The comparison between the beetle communities in the open woodland Pometia and the denser mixed woodland Pulverino.
Okay.
What they discovered there was pretty amazing.
With such different environments, I bet the beetles would have adapted in their own unique ways.
They did.
So what did the researchers find out?
Well, in Pometia, the open structure and past grazing created ideal conditions for beetles, that, like the early stages of wood decay.
Okay.
These are species that do well in drier conditions and don't mind a bit of competition. They're like the first responders to a freshly fallen tree.
Okay.
Ready to get that decomposition process started.
So they're the early birds getting the, well, in this case, the decaying wood.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
Now, in Pulverino, with its denser canopy and no grazing, it was a different story.
Okay.
The moist, shaded environment favored beetles that do well in the later stages of wood decay.
Okay.
These are the specialists, the gourmet diners of the beetle world.
Mm.
They often like to eat specific types of fungi that break down the wood even further.
So different management practices lead to different beetle communities?
Yeah.
It's not just about having different beetles. It's about supporting a wider range of species.
Yeah.
Variety seems to be key to a healthy ecosystem.
You've got it.
Okay.
And that's where microhabitats come in.
Microhabitats.
Yes. Think of them as mini ecosystems within the woodland.
Okay.
Little pockets of unique conditions like tree size,
hollow
height, moisture levels, and how dense the foliage is. Each microhabitat caters to a particular group of beetles, like specialized neighborhoods in a city.
It's all about location, 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 even for beetles.
It is.
The researchers looked at 14 different microhabitat variables to see how they influence these beetle communities.
Yes. It was a detailed analysis. But imagine you're a beetle looking for the perfect home.
Yeah.
The study found that things like how much sunlight reaches the tree hollow.
Okay.
And how deep the layer of cozy, damp wood mold is play a huge role in your decision.
So they're picky.
They know what they like.
So you've really got me thinking about these microhabitats. We've talked about light availability and tree size.
Yes.
But what other factors matter to a beetle looking for that perfect spot to call home?
Well, let's talk about that vertical stratification we mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Imagine a high-rise apartment building for beetles.
Okay.
With different communities on each floor.
I like it.
The study found that as you move higher up within a tree hollow, you'll find different types of beetles.
So it's not just about finding a dead tree.
Right.
It's about finding the right floor in that tree.
Exactly.
So tell me what's happening down on the ground floor of this beetle high-rise.
The lower cavities closer to the ground tend to be a mix of lots of different beetle species.
Oh, really?
The researchers found more predators down there.
Okay.
And a higher overall species diversity.
So it's like the lively ground floor of a city.
Yes.
With a lot going on.
Exactly.
And a variety of characters.
Yes. A good mix.
And what about the higher levels?
Ah, the higher levels.
Are those the penthouse suites of the beetle world?
You could say that.
Okay.
As you go up the tree hollow.
Yeah.
Things get more specialized.
Okay.
Higher cavities had more mycophagous beetles.
Mycophagous.
Those gourmet diners who love their fungi.
Ah, okay.
And xylophagous beetles.
My xylophagous.
The dedicated wood munchers.
So the higher you go, the more specialized the beetles become.
It seems that way.
What is it about the upper floors that attracts these particular beetles?
It's all about the microclimate.
Microclimate.
Remember how we said most beetles prefer things moist? Well, those higher cavities are usually better at holding moisture. They provide a refuge from those dry Mediterranean summers.
Oh, that makes sense.
Plus, they often have thicker layers of wood mold, which means more food for these specialized beetles.
So it's not just about the food, it's about the ambiance.
That's right.
A moist, stable environment
is
key for those fungi-loving beetles.
Absolutely.
I bet those smaller openings at the top help regulate the temperature and humidity.
I think you're right.
Making it even cozier.
They've got it all figured out.
Yeah.
But it's not just the height that matters.
What else?
The study found that even the composition of the wood mold itself plays a role.
Hold on, there are different types of wood mold.
There are.
I thought it was all just decomposed wood.
You might be surprised by the variety. The researchers discovered that cavities with more soil actually had fewer Micophagus beetles.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because drier conditions aren't great for the fungi they eat.
Right. So for the fungus-loving beetles,
yes,
the best spot is a cavity with a lot of damp wood mold.
Exactly.
And not much dry soil.
Right.
It really is all about real estate for these beetles.
It is.
Did the researchers find that the depth of the cavity made a difference?
They did. They found that the distance to the wood mold,
okay,
which is essentially how deep the cavity is,
yeah,
influenced which beetles were present.
Interesting.
And it was interesting. The threatened species seemed to like cavities,
yeah,
with a greater distance to the wood mold.
Mm-hmm.
This might mean they're more sensitive to disturbances or changes in their microclimate.
It makes sense that the more vulnerable species,
yeah,
would look for the more secluded, stable environments.
Right.
They value their privacy.
Their laps. What about those other variables they analyzed?
Like the type of rotten wood?
Yes.
And the angle of the entrance hole?
No.
Did those make a difference?
They did, but maybe not as much as the light availability,
okay,
tree size, and wood mold composition.
Okay.
For example, Saprophagus beetles.
Saprophagus.
Ones that eat the decaying wood directly,
uh-huh,
preferred cavities with signs of rot.
Well, yeah, they need access to their food.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
It just shows how important even small details can be,
yeah,
when figuring out if a habitat is right for these specialized beetles.
So what about the slant of the entrance hole?
The entrance hole.
I mean, surely that can't influence which beetles live there.
Well, the study didn't find any direct links to specific beetle species.
Okay.
They noticed that cavities with more vertical entrance holes,
yeah,
tended to be a bit more humid.
Mm.
That's probably because a vertical entrance is better at catching rainwater.
It's amazing to think that even the angle of the entrance hole,
right,
can affect the environment inside the cavity.
Yeah.
It really shows how complex these ecosystems are.
Absolutely. And it's a reminder that even small changes,
yeah,
can have big effects on the species living there.
I'm really glad we did this deep dive.
Me too.
I had no idea how much is going on inside a dead tree.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
It is. And remember, the study was done in cork oak woodlands.
Right.
Ecosystems that have been shaped by people.
Yes, for sake.
Managing them for cork.
Exactly.
We were talking about the two woodlands,
yeah,
the open one, Pomesia, and the denser one, Pulverino.
Right.
And how they've been managed differently has, yeah, affected their beetle communities.
Exactly.
Pomesia, with its history of grazing,
right,
and more open structure,
yeah,
favored those beetles at like the early stages of decay.
Exactly.
But Pulverino, which is denser,
yeah,
and hasn't been grazed,
right,
supported the beetles that thrive in those later stages of decay.
That's right.
It seems like the choices humans made, even generations ago,
that
still affect the beetles we see today.
It highlights how important it is to think about the long-term effects of our actions.
Yeah.
And how they shape the world around us.
For sure. But it also suggests that we have a responsibility,
yes,
to manage these woodlands,
yeah,
in a way that supports biodiversity.
Absolutely. Especially with climate change happening.
Yeah. It's amazing to think about the long-term effects and how what we do today will shape these ecosystems in the future.
It is.
We've learned so much about these beetle communities,
yeah,
their habitat preferences, their vulnerability to change. But how do we actually use this knowledge?
Hmm.
What does it mean for conservation efforts?
Right.
Not just in these cork oak woodlands, but for other Mediterranean ecosystems facing similar challenges.
That is the big question. And the researchers were thinking about that when they did this study.
Okay.
They were especially concerned about how climate change will impact these sensitive beetle communities.
So we're talking about those increasing droughts and rising temperatures. How do those things play into this world of beetles and deadwood?
Well, imagine you're a beetle. And you need the cool damp inside of a tree cavity,
yes,
to survive, especially during those hot Mediterranean summers.
Right.
As droughts get worse,
uh-huh,
finding those perfect microhabitats becomes even harder.
So it's like a double whammy.
Yes.
We're losing habitats because of things like deforestation.
Right.
And now climate change is making it even tougher on the environments that are left.
Exactly. It's a serious situation.
It paints a pretty bleak picture for these beetles.
It does, but that's why studies like this are so important.
Okay.
By knowing which microhabitat features matter most,
yeah,
we can make better choices about how to protect them.
So instead of just saying, save all the trees,
right,
we can focus on saving the trees that are most likely to help those vulnerable beetle communities.
Exactly.
Okay.
We've learned that larger trees are important with
yeah.
their deeper cavities mm-hmm. and better ability to hold moisture. Those trees are like gold for some of these threatened species.
So protecting those trees and making sure they can keep growing
yes.
becomes a top priority.
Absolutely.
But it's not just about individual trees, is it?
No, it's not.
We need to think about the whole landscape.
Yes.
And make sure there are different types of habitats.
That's right.
That mix of open and dense areas
yeah.
and different stages of wood decay
yes.
is essential for all the different species.
Absolutely. This means we might need to rethink some of those traditional forestry practices.
Okay.
The ones that often focus on neatness and uniformity over biodiversity.
So instead of seeing dead wood as something that needs to be cleared away,
right.
we need to start seeing it as a vital part of a healthy forest.
It's a shift in perspective.
Yeah.
Seeing that what might look messy or unproductive to us
uh-huh.
is actually teeming with life
mm.
and playing a key role in how the whole forest works.
It all comes back to that interconnectedness.
Yes, it does.
It reminds us that our actions matter. And we have to manage these ecosystems in a way that keeps them healthy and strong for the long haul.
I agree. And as we go forward, long-term monitoring will be important.
Okay.
We need to watch these beetle communities closely.
Yeah.
See how they're doing with climate change
mm-hmm.
and adjust our conservation strategies as needed.
So it's an ongoing thing.
It is.
Not just a one-time fix.
We have to constantly observe and be willing to learn and adapt.
Okay.
And even though this study was just about cork oak woodlands in Italy,
yeah.
what we've learned applies to other places too.
Right. The importance of microhabitats,
yes.
the effects of how we manage things, mm. the fact that specialized species are vulnerable.
It's all connected.
Those are universal ideas that apply to ecosystems everywhere.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if we're talking about forests in North America,
right.
rainforests in South America, or savannas in Africa.
It's all the same.
The principles are the same.
Yeah.
It's about understanding how life on Earth is interconnected
yep.
and using what we know to protect biodiversity wherever it is.
I've learned so much from this deep dive.
Me too.
I have a whole new appreciation for these little creatures.
They are fascinating.
And the role they play in the bigger picture.
It's been great sharing this journey with you.
It have.
Remember, curiosity is key.
Okay.
The more we learn about the natural world,
yeah.
the better we can protect it.
Well said. Thank you for taking us on this fascinating exploration.
You're welcome.
Until next time, keep exploring and keep asking questions.